Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Desvio de Trajetória, the podcast where we explore the journeys that shape us and the connections that drive us forward. I'm Helena, your host, and if you've been following along, you know that I just returned from the most life-changing trip of my life, Antarctica. And yet, here I am, struggling to move on. My friends will soon start to get bored by all the Antarctica talk, but almost 2 months after the start of this trip, I still find myself waking up to thoughts of it. There's this word, a Portuguese word that describes this feeling to the T. This word that doesn't quite translate into any other language is saudade. Saudade is that deep, aching nostalgia for something incredible, something that touched your soul and changed you forever. And Antarctica did that for me. So today we're talking about saudade, about coming home after an experience that alters you, and about what happens when you realize that maybe, just maybe, a part of you never quite returns. Coming back has been weird. For months, between leaving my job, Christmas, going to Prague, my life revolved around preparing for Antarctica. Researching gear, obsessing over logistics, watching a million videos about the Drake Passage, imagining what it would feel like to stand on the edge of the world. And then suddenly, it was over. I find myself sitting at home, looking at my phone, scrolling through my own Instagram highlights, watching and rewatching my stories and my photo gallery, as if trying to convince myself that it all really happened. The icebergs, the penguins, the silence so profound, it felt like the earth itself was holding its breath. How do you return to normal life after that? And what does normal even mean now? Antarctica wasn't just about the landscapes or the wildlife. As I said in the previous episode, it was about the people. Our group was incredibly diverse. People from the UK, Germany, the USA, Serbia, Hungary, India, Dubai, and me, the only Portuguese. We bonded over the strangest yet most beautiful rituals, taking daily photos of the portholes, documenting the ever-changing light of the Antarctic skies, sharing sunrise and sunset pictures as if trying to hold on to time itself. And even now, weeks later, we're still talking, still supporting each other, mostly through our WhatsApp group. We're sharing nostalgia, checking in on each other, and yes, we're still stalking the Ortelius and the Oceanwide crew, watching where our ship is heading next. There was no competition between us. No small talk, just deep, meaningful conversations with brilliant, kind, open souls. People who had built their own businesses, who had survived life's hardest moments, who are actively shaping the kind of world they want to live in. We sat in the ship's lounge, not talking about the weather or our jobs, but about what made us happy, about why we were on this journey, about what was next. One conversation in particular has been stuck in my head. "So, Helena, tell me about your life story." And I keep replaying that moment because, honestly, I never really thought of myself as having an interesting life story. I'm just a girl, now in her 40s, born into a modest family who uprooted themselves for a better life. A family of four, now five with my niece, and dozens of cats and dogs along the way. Someone who was so determined to be a journalist that she uprooted herself again, this time alone, to chase that dream. Only to realize that maybe it was a pipe dream. Only to realize that life happens when you're not paying attention. And right after college, I started working and never looked back. It's funny how we tend to be our own harshest critics. Because what about everything I have accomplished? The years of laughter and music, trying poorly to play the cavaquinho with the family I chose for myself. The lives I touched through college and later at work. Climbing from the bottom ranks of a Fortune 500 company to not just managing, but creating an entire department from scratch. Recruiting and developing incredible people who are now the backbone of marketing and communications at that company. developing leaders, some of whom became even better managers than I ever was. Living on my own at 26, overcoming long COVID and a burnout, and then choosing courage over exhaustion and frustration, walking away from a 17-year career to reinvent myself and deter from that second burnout. My life story is one of resilience and boldness, of love and hard work, of heartbreak and friendship and laughter and music. And that is not something to dismiss. This shy girl from a small Portuguese town should be incredibly proud of the woman she has become. And here's the thing. On the Artelius, in the beginning of our trip, I was the one judging myself, comparing my path to others, measuring my worth in accomplishments instead of presence. But there, in that frozen, untouched world, surrounded by people who saw me, not just my CV or my past, I felt something shift. I don't think I can ever let go of that feeling, nor do I want to. One of the things I kept saying while I was there and throughout my posts on Instagram is that Antarctica is life-changing. But I never quite explained how it changes you. It's overwhelming. The sheer scale of it, the silence, the wildlife so perfectly adapted to the harshest conditions on Earth. It's a place where nature dominates completely, where human presence feels almost insignificant. Watching a humpback whale dive, its massive tail slicing through the water before vanishing beneath the icy depths, leaves you speechless. Seeing a penguin chick chase its parents for food, its tiny feet awkwardly slipping on the ice, reminds you of the fragility and determination of life. Hearing the ice creak and groan under its own weight, a sound so ancient, so full of history, grounds you in the reality of a planet that has been shifting and evolving long before we arrived. These moments stay with you, imprinting themselves onto your soul. But beyond the beauty, there's also the weight of responsibility. Because once you've seen Antarctica with your own eyes, once you've felt its fragility, you can't unsee it. You can't ignore what's happening. You start to notice the stark contrast between this pristine world and the one we've altered so profoundly. We learned about krill fishing, about the impact of climate change on the glaciers, about how even the tiniest shifts in temperature are altering entire ecosystems. It's not just an abstract concept or a headline in the news anymore. It's real. You stand in front of a towering glacier and hear the thunderous crack as a chunk of ice breaks away, crashing into the sea. You realize this isn't a distant problem. It's unfolding right in front of you. And coincidentally, or not, I guess my algorithm is adjusting, I keep stumbling into publications and articles or new documentaries about this topic. Organizations are actively fighting to protect Antarctica from overfishing, particularly the devastating krill industry. Krill, you'll remember, the tiny shrimp-like creatures, are the foundation of the Antarctic food web, feeding everything from penguins to whales. Yet industrial fishing operations are scooping them up by the millions to produce omega-3 supplements and fish meal, disrupting entire ecosystems. And it's happening at a time when marine life is already struggling to adapt to a warming climate. And it's not just an abstract problem happening in some far-off places, I was saying. It's our problem. It's our actions, our consumption, our industries that are endangering this pristine, breathtaking world. We like to think of Antarctica as untouched, but the truth is, what we do on the other side of the planet impacts even the most remote places. Our plastic waste, our carbon emissions, our demand for certain products, all of it ripples outward. So here's a few things that we can do. First, choose plant-based omega-3 supplements instead of those derived from fish oil. As I mentioned in the last episode, algae-based omega-3 is a sustainable alternative that provides the same health benefits without depleting krill populations. I used to take these supplements, and as soon as I got home, I went to see the origins of it. Not to my surprise, unfortunately, they were indeed made up from fish oil. So I turned to Professor Google and asked him where could I get some plant-based supplements instead. I found a few vegan versions and ordered one from Amazon to try. I do feel it might not be as effective as the DPA and DHA levels, the fatty acids within omega-3, aren't as concentrated as the ones found in fish oil. But it is a fair trade to do, in my opinion, and the minimum that we can do as well. Secondly, support conservation efforts by following and donating to organizations like Sea Shepherd, Greenpeace, and the Antarctic and Southern Ocean Coalition. They're on the front lines, pushing for stronger environmental protections. When you can, if that is a possibility in your city or country, vote for environmental friendly platforms. Push your own politics to consider these topics. Thirdly, an oldie but goldie, one that remains as important as ever, reduce plastic use. Even small changes, bringing reusable bags, saying no to single-use plastics, help prevent microplastics from entering marine ecosystems even further. For example, as women, we use and discard a lot of plastics throughout our lives, in our personal hygiene products as well as beauty products. I have now started using period undies. Still adjusting, but when you find the right ones, it does make a difference. Try Norm, a Portuguese brand that you can find on @norm.period on Instagram. They have amazing quality and do their work. On the beauty front, shift to brands like Fresh Cosmetics, who have been around for almost a decade. Their formulas are vegan, cruelty-free, and the products come in glass vials packaged in recycled paper, which is also used for their refill options. I am truly a fan. Finally, stay informed and spread awareness. Talk about what's happening, share stories, encourage responsible and regenerative tourism. The more we know, the more we care. And the more we care, the more we act. So, what do you do when you come back from something like this? You wake up in your bed, in your own little life, and it feels small. Not in a bad way, but in a changed way. Because now you know. Now you see. Once you've stood in a place that defies time, where silence speaks louder than words, where the vastness of nature humbles you to your core, how do you return to the mundane? And I think that's the real gift of Antarctica. It's not just a place you visit. It's a place that rewires something inside you. It expands your sense of what is possible. It strips away distractions and forces you to sit with the truth of who you are when everything else is gone. And that changes you. Coming back, the old routine feels different. The habits that once felt comforting now feel like echoes of a past version of myself. And without the anchor of a big job or a grand mission, the question becomes, what now? Here's the thing, I don't have all the answers yet, and that's okay. What I do know is this, every step, no matter how small, is still progress. Making the bed, reading a new book, going for a walk, running that errand I've been putting off. These might seem insignificant, but they are not. They are movements, however small, towards something new. Sometimes taking a course, setting a goal, or committing to a daily practice like walking 10K is what grounds you. Other times, binge-watching a show or several shows, rearranging your cabinets, or simply allowing yourself to be is exactly what you need. Both are valid. Both are part of the process. And then there's the saudade, that deep, untranslatable longing for something you can't quite hold on to. I feel it, and I know I won't let it fade. Because that feeling, the ache, the pull, is proof that something mattered. And I'll honor that by keeping it alive, by talking about it, by sharing what I learned, by chasing new experiences that make me feel alive again. Now, I want to hear from you. Have you ever had a journey that changed you forever? A moment that made you see the world and yourself differently? How did you navigate the after? Let's talk about it. Send me a message, drop a comment on Instagram, or leave one right here on Spotify. Because if there's one thing I've learned is that real, deep, human connection is what keeps us moving forward. And I can't wait to hear your story. This was Desvio da Trajetória, and I am Helena. See you on the other side of a dream fulfilled.